So in this series, Supernatural, we've been talking about how that which the world considers to be supernatural is not really supernatural at all. It's natural. Things that we consider supernatural are actually things that are going on all the time, right among us, right alongside the reality that we experience. There are spiritual realities taking place. And as we've gone through this series, I've stated that I would like, at least in my life, I would like what the world considers to be supernatural, to be very natural in my life, and to be natural in the lives of the church, the lives of this church, so that we can accomplish and do all God would like us to do within our communities. And one of the ideas we've introduced is that these things that we're talking about really aren't supernatural. I introduced this phrase, hypernatural. Hypernatural essentially means things that are very real, very natural, that which is the ultimate reality. And so I don't even like the word supernatural because it makes it seem like those are things that are happening that are outside of possibility. But I want you to know the supernatural things of God are not only very possible, they're very real, they're very tangible, and they're taking place all around us, whether we want to admit it or not. And so in this series, we opened up with the idea that one of the greatest ways and the primary first ways that we interact with things that are hypernatural is through corporate, expressive, public worship. Worshiping God in such a way that when we lift Jesus up, he draws people to him, and moving in the rhythm and the power and the movement of the Spirit as we reflect the name of Jesus back to him through worship. And then last weekend, I had 23 gifts, if you remember that. We had the gift of grace. We had the gift of salvation. We had the gift of the Holy Spirit. And within the gift of the Holy Spirit, we had 20 gifts within that. We started to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit lives within every person who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And you say, well, who are the Spirit-filled Christians? The answer is every Christian. Every Christian has the power of the Spirit within them to work towards the common good, to build up the body, to advance the kingdom of Christ. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts so that we can use those gifts to advance his kingdom. And so we're going to end this series today with a look at three specific gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I would love to spend weeks and weeks going through all of them. But for the sake of time and looking at some other things we need to look at as a church, we're going to be looking at three gifts of the Holy Spirit today, predominantly the gift of the Holy Spirit that Scripture actually elevates above all other gifts. There actually is a gift of the Spirit that the Bible says explicitly is the gift we should desire most of all. Now, depending on what kind of background you come from, if you have a church background, you might start assuming like, oh, these gifts are more important or this or that. And I want you to know that you're not more important if you possess these gifts, that you're not special compared to other believers if you possess these gifts. But there's a gift that we should desire to have more than any other gift, and that's actually the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is what we're going to be spending our time talking about today. And with prophecy, we're going to be talking about two other spiritual gifts that go hand in hand with prophecy. And those spiritual gifts are the gifts of knowledge and the gifts of wisdom. And you can have the spiritual gift of knowledge without being smart. And you can actually have the spiritual gift of wisdom without being very wise. So we're going to talk about what these things actually are. And so to start off that conversation, and we're going to end with a very practical note, but to start off the conversation, we have to ask ourselves, what is prophecy? And when you think of the word prophecy, whenever I use that word, I don't use it a lot in conversation with people, but when we use the word prophecy, a lot of times we automatically think about someone who is foretelling the future. And so prophecy, for example, it's the year 1999 and you're partying like it's 1999 and someone says, at midnight, January 1st, the year 2000, every computer will stop working and the world will go into utter chaos. I have spoken on behalf of the Y2K virus. There's always a virus to get us worked up, isn't there? So their prophecy, in the year 2012, the world will end and great tsunamis will flood the earth. Haven't you seen the movie? So these prophecies, things that are foretelling the future, we say like, well, Nostradamus, all of these things he foretold. There's a lot of stuff he foretold that never happened, hasn't happened, and won't happen. And so prophecy, we think about people telling the future. But foretelling prophecy, prophecy which foretells something that has yet to happen, that's only one of two types of prophecy. That there's two types of prophecy, and to understand those two types of prophecy, we need to know what prophecy actually is. What is prophecy? Here's the definition of the idea prophecy, the word prophecy. The definition is to utter by or as if by divine inspiration. So to utter by divine inspiration. To utter as if by divine inspiration. Prophecy is to speak as if divinely inspired. So someone speaks on behalf of God. Prophecy is just literally the definition, speaking on behalf of God. And so when we think about someone, a person speaking on behalf of God, what we've got to understand is that, first of all, this could mean that God speaks directly through you. Almost like you don't even have a choice in the matter. But you're just going about your business, your mouth opens up, and words start coming out of your mouth that you did not plan to have come out of your mouth. Now, some of you say really dumb things when you shouldn't say them that just come out of your mouth, and that's not the Holy Spirit. That's actually your very sinful, evil heart. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we're not talking about the things that you open your mouth and they just come out like, whoa, I didn't mean to say that. Well, you actually did. But we're talking about the idea of God speaking directly through someone like he did to often in the Old Testament. That might mean, like he did with King Saul, that God actually forces it out of you. Like, how awkward would it be just to have God force something out of your mouth that you didn't even have a chance to grab before it gets out? But it also could mean, and oftentimes in the Old Testament, when we're talking about that kind of direct prophecy where God speaks through you, it could mean that God is asking you to speak for him, where he would speak through you, but you need to submit to him and allow him to cause you to do so. And so that's one kind of prophecy where God speaks directly through you. But there's kind of another kind, and then we'll get into the types. Another kind of prophecy is where God gives you a divinely inspired message. And that divinely inspired message is for a specific person or it's for a group of people. And you must choose whether or not to give it. And I think that a lot of you, actually, God has given you inspired messages to give to a person or a group of people. I think that a lot of you are prophets, but you've never actually allowed God to speak through you. You've never submitted to the will of God and actually spoke those words out with your mouth that God put in your heart to give. And so God may force a word and speak directly through you, which doesn't happen super often. Or God may give you this divinely inspired message that you choose to submit to him and to speak it. And so back to the types. The types of that prophecy, number one type is foretelling. When God gives you a word concerning something that has not yet happened. When God gives you a word about something concerning the future, and you might say, why would God give me a word about something regarding the future to tell someone? Well, there's a lot of reasons why, but number one, I believe oftentimes God wants to warn us through prophecy. I also believe that God tells us about things coming up in the future so that we can actually pray for or against that thing. Actually, there's a story, 2 Kings chapter 20, where God tells King Hezekiah that he's going to die. That's a prophetic word about the future. But Hezekiah actually goes and humbles himself before God and prays that he would be delivered and be healed. And God actually answers that prayer and gives him 15 more years of life. And so God may give you a word about your future, not because it's inevitably going to happen, but because he actually wants you to trust him about what will happen. And he's actually testing your faith and may actually give you something that you never thought you'd experience before. And so I've had people give me these doom and gloom prophecies about my life before, and I've actually said, you know what? I hear what you're saying. I don't know if it's from God or not, but I'm going to actually pray against it. And they're like, well, God spoke through me to tell you. And I'm like, awesome, and I'm going to pray against it. Because I can actually go before God, and I can petition him through the name of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, and I can ask God whatever request I have, and according to God's will, he can choose to answer that or not. So God foretells the future to warn us, to challenge us, to prepare us, or so that we may pray against those things. But there's also this forth-telling prophecy. The other type is not about the future, it's forth-telling. That's a word we don't often use, but we use the word someone is forthcoming. So forth-telling means that you tell something or tell someone something about themselves that's going on right now that either they don't know, they don't see, or a special word that God wants to give them for right here and right now. And God gives those words to challenge us, to prepare us, to inspire us, and really to build us up and to encourage us. And so there is foretelling prophecy. There is forth-telling prophecy. There is forced prophecy through God out of our mouths, and there is the inspired word of God that we would submit ourselves to. And so let's talk about prophets throughout the Bible. All throughout the Old Testament, it's about prophets. There are people that have the mantle, the position of prophet within the Old Testament of the Scriptures. Now, people had not yet experienced forgiveness of sins yet by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. They did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them within the Old Testament, but they did have the Holy Spirit that would come upon them and clothe them with power, either for specific circumstances of prophecy or a specific position of prophecy where they would always prophesy on behalf of God. And these people, again, were called prophets. You can read about many of them in the Old Testament. But about 400 BC, history records that most prophecies in the way that we understand prophecy actually ceased. It stopped. Theologians call this the 400 silent years, the 400 years before Jesus. The history of Judah recorded that God was not speaking through his prophets during that time. You can look at history and see ways God was intervening and he was speaking, but there wasn't prophets that were rising up and speaking on behalf of God. But thanks be to God, that stopped around the year 0 AD when Jesus was born. At the birth of Jesus, upon the coming and the life of Jesus, prophets arose and prophecy began once again. We actually find Mary, the mother of Jesus, prophesying about the coming of her son. We find her relative Elizabeth prophesying over the baby that's in her womb. We find a man, Zechariah, who's about to give birth to his son, John the Baptist, prophesying about this boy. We find John the Baptist as the prophet that arises during that time to prepare the way of the Lord. Prophecy oftentimes prepares us for God to do something. And so there were a silent period, and then prophecy returns to the world with the life of Jesus. But upon the death of Jesus, upon the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus to the Father in heaven, and upon Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to fill every believer, all of a sudden prophecy becomes, at the very least, a very normal thing. Prophecy actually becomes a very frequent thing. Because no longer would the Holy Spirit just clothe people with power for specific events in history. All of a sudden, everyone who is saved by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus now has the Spirit of God living within them. And you might say, well, Pastor, do I have access to the Holy Spirit? And I would say, if you are a follower of Jesus, you don't just have access. He is in you. He's in you, working through you, working out things, making you more like Jesus, to give you gifts and powers and abilities to advance his kingdom, to encourage people, and to build up the church. And so I would say unapologetically today that every believer has access to prophecy. Everyone is capable, not under their own merits or abilities, but under the power of the Spirit, to be able to prophesy today. Christians do prophesy today. And you might think, well, the only times I've ever heard prophecy, just like weird television preachers that wear way too much makeup, wear really weird suits, blow on people, dance around chairs, and do some really strange things, and fly in private jets, and do all this crazy stuff. And I know there's crazy stuff. How many of you have seen some crazy stuff before? There's crazy stuff. But there's crazy power available to Christians today through the power of the Spirit that abides within you, and Christians do prophesy today. Look at a prophecy, a foretelling prophecy in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus, written by a prophet by the name of Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 17 through 18, this is what God speaks through Joel. He says, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh," not just specific people appointed for specific times, but all who call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. He'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. He says, "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men will see visions." Keep that in mind. Young men see visions, and old men, how many of you here are old men? Amen. I'm not old yet. Your old men shall dream dreams. I'm still visionary. I'm not dreaming yet. And it says, "Even on my male and female servants, I'm going to pour out my spirit." So God wants us to know, he told us hundreds of years before Jesus. And this particular scripture is spoken by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit fills the church for the first time. People are saying, "Whoa, what's going on? What are these words you're saying? What's these languages you're speaking in?" And Peter says, "Oh, you're witnessing what happened back in the book of Joel. This is the day. This is the time where young men are having visions, old men are having dreams, men and women are prophesying. God's Spirit now is poured out on all flesh." And so last week when we were going through those 20 gifts, prophecy is listed several times on the list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Prophecy exists today as a gift of the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 13 actually says prophecy will continue until the day Jesus returns. Because once Jesus returns, we're not going to need prophecy as we know it any longer. I think we'll experience it in new ways. But sometimes people will say, "Well, prophecy doesn't exist. It only existed for the apostles who wrote out the scriptures." And I would say 1 Corinthians 13 actually says the opposite. It says that prophecy will continue until Christ's return. And so God still speaks through people, period. God still speaks through people. And you might ask yourself the question, at least I do, like, why would God need to speak through people? Why does God speak through people? Does God need us to deliver his message? And I'm going to ask that question rhetorically, and I would actually like you to give me an answer vocally. Does God need us to deliver messages? No, he doesn't. He actually doesn't. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. For those like, yes, no, I don't know, what am I supposed to say? A safe answer in church is just shout out the word Jesus, and you're going to be pretty good. Like, Jesus, okay, good. Does God, and I appreciate those who said yes, because you're actually asking the question, like, is that how God chooses to speak to us? And then we could say, yeah, sometimes that is. But does God need us to speak for him? The answer is just no. God doesn't need us for anything. God can do whatever God wills to do, right? He's God. He doesn't ask our permission. He doesn't get clarification before he gives us words. God can do what God wants to do. But the answer to the question, does God need us? The answer is actually no, he doesn't. So why does he do it? Here's why. If God gives me a word personally, it's true, it's real, it's powerful, but I doubt whether or not that word came from God. How many of you ever thought you received a word from God before, but you doubted whether or not it actually was from God? Like, is that me? Is that just my longings and desires? Is it the Taco Bell twice yesterday? What is it? And so we wonder. And so what God does is God actually uses people to come and speak prophetically to us, because now you've got more than one person. It's no longer subjective. It's no longer subjective to whether I think it's from God or not, but God uses others to confirm it. And this has happened so many beautiful, powerful times in my life where God had put something on my heart that I never shared with a soul. No one had any idea. And God brings someone, oftentimes people I don't even know, sometimes publicly in front of crowds of people, sometimes one-on-one, come up to me and give me a word of prophecy to say, "Hey, you're on the right track. You're going the right direction." And I actually stand back and say, "Wow! How amazing is that, that God loves me so much that he actually wanted to confirm to me the word he gave me. That I have confirmation now that God is speaking to me, through me, for me. Someone else is validating and confirming that. And it actually appears more miraculous than God just speaking to me in here." And so I believe that God has words of prophecy for some of you that you need to hear today so that your heart can come alive and it can begin to acknowledge and accept that God's speaking to you, but God's going to use someone else to come along and confirm that very word. Last Friday, I was praying with a group of ministers within our city, and months ago, someone gave a word of prophecy over my life that encouraged me and inspired me and it challenged me. But just last Friday, someone that had never been a part of that prayer experience, had never been a part or knew my story at all, came to me and prayed the exact same words over my life for a second time. Months later, it was God saying, Anthony, pay attention. This is real. This is true. I still got plans for you. God's going to use people to confirm his word within your life. And so what are some specific reasons God would actually do this? Why would God do this? Well, number one, God does this to build up and encourage people. God gives prophecy to build up and to encourage, and specifically to build up the church. 1 Corinthians 14, it's on the screen. It's online if you're joining us now, or it's in the notes on our app. 1 Corinthians 14, 3 through 4, it says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And so if your word of prophecy to someone is discouraging, I would challenge you that that very likely is not from God. If the word that you've got for someone is going to tear them down or destroy them or rip them to shreds or actually stunt their growth, that's not from God. The Bible says very specifically that prophecy is for upbuilding, encouragement, consolation. It builds up the church. I want you to check your spirit before you speak a word from God and ask yourself, is this building someone up or does it have the potential to tear them down? Because I've been torn down by people who thought they were speaking on behalf of God. They were actually speaking on behalf of the accuser of the brethren, that's the devil, who tried to accuse me and destroy me and discourage me. That was not prophecy. You need to know what's God and what's not. 1 Corinthians 14, why else does God speak through prophecy? Well, he does it to lead people to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24, read it to yourself with me. It says, but if all prophesy, I mean like a gathering of the church, if people are prophesying and an unbeliever or an outsider enters into their midst, and if people are prophesying, he is convicted by all. He is held to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. We're all called to share our faith with others. We're all called to share the gospel. But maybe God sometimes won't just have you share the gospel with someone, but God will actually speak through you to them to give them a specific message tailor-made for them to lead them to faith in Christ. We'll say, well, Pastor, where did that happen in the Bible? Well, it happened quite a few times. But it actually happens in the life of Jesus, where Jesus goes and sits next to this woman at the well. And he speaks a word of knowledge over her life. He speaks a prophetic word over her life. And the secrets of her heart were disclosed to her. And it led her and those in her town to follow Jesus. I'm just telling you, some of you have people in your life that God actually wants to use you to speak through to them to lead them to Jesus. You're praying that God will send some along to lead them to Jesus. And God says, hey, I've already put you in their life. You need to share the truth. You need to share the gospel. You need to be willing to open your mouth when I want to use you to speak through you to them. So prophecy is something that we need in the church. Prophecy is something we need in the church. 1 Corinthians 14 says this, pursue love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And here's where it elevates prophecy. It says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. You say you may not have the gift of prophecy that you carry with you predominantly, but God's word says you should pursue the gifts, but especially this one, because this one builds people up. This one encourages people. This one brings consolation. This one, out of all the others, it leads people to Jesus. Just ask God to speak through you for the benefit of others. And so if this is what prophecy is, and this is why God uses prophecy, then what is knowledge and wisdom? What specifically is knowledge and wisdom? And the Bible actually says very, very little about this, but it lists knowledge and wisdom as gifts of the Spirit separate to that of prophecy. The only place we get some sort of direction on this particular gift, knowledge and wisdom, we find it in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. It says this, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, someone is given through the Spirit the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit." So remember when we asked ourselves, what is prophecy? Well, the first definition of prophecy is to utter a word from God. And here the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says, people utter words of knowledge. People utter words of wisdom. So I would submit to you today that words of knowledge and words of wisdom are prophecy the moment they come out of your mouth. Now, they go beyond just forthtelling. They go beyond just foretelling, because a gift of knowledge, a word of knowledge given as an act of prophecy by the Holy Spirit, that's where we're talking about disclosing things of our heart. So if God allows you to use the spiritual gift of knowledge, it means that you are given knowledge about something, someone, or a group of people that you have no way of knowing unless God revealed it to you. Now, you might be used to come up and proclaim something over someone's life that they're going through, that's happening within their soul, that God has not revealed to them yet, but he actually uses you to reveal it to them through the Spirit by words of knowledge. And I have had this happen in beautiful ways over my life, where God reveals my own heart to me through words of prophecy that happen to be words of knowledge. So words of knowledge are forthcoming from our heart, disclosing things that we would not be able to know outside of God. Words of wisdom, what's that? Well, knowledge is knowing things. Wisdom is applying things. Wisdom is being able to apply the knowledge that we have. So as God uses words of prophecy to encourage and build people up, oftentimes those are gifts of wisdom, where God imparts wisdom to someone by the power of the Holy Spirit that you know has no business coming from that person, because they don't know your circumstance and you know they're not that wise of a person, but the Holy Spirit speaks through them this powerful word of wisdom to speak to your heart. And so when God calls you to verbally communicate these things, that knowledge and that wisdom, it becomes prophecy. Now, these are things that I actually experience pretty often, and maybe you do as well. But for me, a lot of times, this happens as visions. I was sharing with my father yesterday that kind of the older I get, the more visions I'm having. Maybe that means I'm getting younger, because young men have visions and old men dream dreams. And so I actually have visions sometimes about people, where I'll see things going on in their lives, see things going on in their heart. It might be abstract. It might be very real and literal, but I often have visions about people, and that is a gift of knowledge. And sometimes it works as a gift of wisdom, but just because God gives me a vision about something or someone, it doesn't mean that I'm supposed to share it. So sometimes God reveals things to you about others that are the gifts of knowledge, and they are the gifts of wisdom. But sometimes it would damage the person to share it with them at a specific time. And so you might actually get knowledge or wisdom about someone that you should not share. Well, why would God give it to me then? To pray. To pray, to come alongside, to be prepared to help that person in crisis. And you better be sure it's God when God wants you to share it. Because if you share it at the wrong time, or if you share something that was not from God at all, it can be incredibly damaging to someone's heart. That's crucial that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know it's God. Because this is not a gift you mess around with. So God may call you to speak it out where it becomes prophecy, or he might just reveal it to you so that you can be prepared. You can be praying and be there to support brothers and sisters when they go through a difficult time. You say, well, Pastor, I think I have gotten a vision about someone's life. I think I have gotten a word of knowledge. I think I have gotten a word of wisdom. I think I have gotten a word of prophecy. What should I do with it once I get it? And you're gonna have some kind of sense. There's something different. What do I do when God gives that to me? Well, number one is this. You need to ask yourself the question. And I think I put these notes on the app, maybe on the screen. Yeah. So before you speak, what do you need to ask yourself? Number one, is what I'm about to say biblical? You're not going to prophesy something over someone's life and actually have it be from God if it's not biblical. And you say, well, how do I know if it's biblical? Spoiler alert, read the Bible. If you don't know if it's biblical, don't speak it, okay? You've got to know, is this biblical? Number two, could this help someone or will it just discourage them? Is this word of knowledge or wisdom or prophecy, will it help someone or will it hurt someone? Number three, here's probably the most important question you need to ask. Does it bring glory to God or does it bring glory to me? Does it bring glory to God or do I want to show off my prophecy skills at the party? Does it bring glory to God or do I want to wave my knowledge and wisdom flag so that everybody can see? You see, a lot of times real prophets, you don't know they're prophets because they don't have to declare it or say it. They're doing it and they're acting out in ministry, but they're humble enough to speak on behalf of God and not everybody needs to know about it. Number four, not sure? Ask God to clarify. Ask God to confirm. Ask God to confirm to you what he said to or impressed upon you for someone else. And then finally, you say, I still am not sure. Ask a godly acquaintance. Ask someone who is godly whether or not you should share. And I've seen this happen so often within churches and within the church where people will go and seek counsel, but sometimes people go and seek counsel only from people who are going to confirm whatever they say and be a yes man to them. You need to ask counsel of people who are really going to be able to discern whether or not this is from God or not. So ask. Well, Pastor, I'm still not sure. What should I do? Keep your mouth shut. I'm still not sure. Keep your mouth closed. This is nothing to mess around with. If you don't know it's from God, don't speak it. If you don't think the wisdom is from God, or if you're not sure, don't declare it. If you don't know if the knowledge God gives you on your heart is from God, it's not something like, well, let's go out into the community and experiment with words of knowledge. There's some churches that do that. Like they run like a, okay, be polite. They run trainings in schools where they teach people to go like, hey, just go test this out on the community that don't know Jesus. Like, that's not how this works. You don't just go experiment with people's hearts over prophecy. You've got to be solid in the word, solid in the spirit, solidly in love with Jesus to go out and do work on behalf of God. And yeah, you need to have freedom to do that. But if you don't know if it's God, please don't test it out on your barista this week. That's not an exaggeration. In the New Testament church age that we live in, if people go about speaking words from God that aren't from God, if people speak foretelling prophecies that don't happen, if people speak forthtelling prophecies to others that are not true, if people start spouting off words of wisdom and knowledge in the New Testament age in which we live, well, first of all, in the Old Testament, those people would have been stoned to death, by the way. I don't know if you've read that in the Old Testament. But it was such a serious offense to God that he said, if someone comes in my name and declares things that are not true in the Old Testament, stone them to death. That will cause you to walk in reverence to prophecy, right? Like, I want to be so right that I don't want to be stoned to death. By rocks, by the way. Stoned to death if someone speaks out a word that was not from God. But in the New Testament of the church, how many of you are grateful for grace and we don't have to worry about being stoned to death right now in this time of history? But you still don't mess around with it because in the New Testament church in which we live, the church is called to discipline false prophets. The church is called to hold false prophets responsible. And if they continue to cause discord and don't build up the church is called to cast them out of the church because the church cares enough about the souls of the people who are there to protect them. And it's very dangerous to allow wolves to come in and wreak havoc amongst a congregation, someone who thinks they have words from God when they really actually do not. I love it when people come into the church that I've never met in my entire life, like, Pastor, I've got a word I'm going to get up on Sunday and share before your congregation. I'm like, no, you don't. You actually don't. I have no clue who you are. I don't know if you know Jesus. I don't know if you have the Holy Spirit. I don't know if what you have is from God. So let's get to know each other. Let's see you serving. Let's see you engaging. Let's see you being a part of the community. And then if you can build up trust, then we'll see if you can share a word with our congregation. And I never see him again. What wasn't from God? Because this is always going to be done decently and in order. What if someone prophesies over you? What if someone says, I got a word from the Lord for you, brother. I got a word from the Lord for you, sister. What do you do? Someone prophesies over you. What if someone has a word of knowledge or wisdom for you? What do you do? Here's what you are to do. You are to test them. You're to test them and test the word over your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, the Apostle Paul speaks to the church. He says, test everything. But they say that they're from God, so I really shouldn't test them. I shouldn't judge them. I might offend them if I test. No. Test everything and hold fast to what is good. And so if someone speaks a word from God over your life, what should you test? Here are some things that you need to test. Number one, are they Christians? Are they following Jesus? That might seem very obvious, but someone who speaks a word over your life very often may not be a Christian. And if they're not following Jesus, you have no need to listen to what they have to say if they say it's a word of prophecy. Number two, do their lives bear good fruit? Are they actually walking according to the ways of Jesus, or are their lives bearing bad fruit? If they have consistent bad fruit and if they're not trusted, don't listen to the words that they have to say. Are the words they are saying biblical? Now, again, we go back. How do I know, Pastor? Read the Bible. How do we know if it's biblical? You've got to know God's word. And this is where we see so many cults pop up and weird dictator leaders that come in and just completely sway entire nations of people because they're saying that something is from God that's not biblical at all. Is what they say about someone true? Is what they say about you true? I've had so many awesome prophecies over my life, but one time my wife and I got prayed for by a supposed prophet, and she wanted to make sure everybody knew she was a prophet, and she came and spoke publicly over my life that I was someone who dealt radically with anger, and my anger was out of control, and God needed to release me from my anger, and I said, actually, that's not true. I've got a lot of problems. Let's prophesy about the problems I've got. Anger is not one of them. I'm angry now at you that you said this. So we just didn't receive it because it wasn't actually true. Does what the person predicts come to pass? My wife and I went to a prophecy conference once where someone for hours spouted off about things that were going to happen in the year 2006, and I took notes and none of those things happened. They were not speaking on behalf of God or they would have come to pass. Do people's words push you to another God? Do they push you to another Jesus? That's how Mormonism was founded. There was a spirit that came and delivered a message to a prophet that was not biblical whatsoever and was actually very demonic, and I'm not afraid to say that either. There's very demonic things about cults and religions where people are actually prophesying on behalf of gods that are not Yahweh God of Scripture, not the Jesus that we serve, and not the spirit we're filled with. Do they use the name of Jesus? This is a great test, by the way. Someone who's got a word for your life, do they use the name of Jesus? False prophets do not like to use the name of Jesus because the name of Jesus is very powerful and demons shudder at the name of Jesus. Do they use the name of Jesus? And listen carefully. I can tell right away if someone doesn't use Jesus, they often say like the Lord or this or that, but very rarely do they use Jesus. And that's because Jesus is a powerful name that if they started using it, their false prophecies might actually cease. How do they react when you use the name Jesus? I do this all the time. Someone comes to you, they got a word for you of knowledge or wisdom. Start using Jesus as much as you can back then. Like, how did Jesus put this on your heart? When did Jesus save you? What has Jesus done? What truth has Jesus revealed to you? And if what they're about to say to you is false, they're going to get very nervous the more and more you use the name Jesus. Do they boast about their gift? Like, hey, I want to let everybody know before I walk into the birthday party, the prophet has arrived. Do they boast about it? Now, you might say, well, Pastor, that's ridiculous. There's people who put prophet in front of their names on Facebook and Instagram because they want everybody to know it. But if you are really a prophet, it's not something that you're going to wear a name tag to tell the world about. Are they boasting about it, or are they boasting in Christ? Are they a mature believer? Are they someone who, again, are they mature? Do they understand the ways of God? And lastly, you're like, I'm still not sure, Pastor. Well, ask God about it. Ask God to confirm it. Ask a Christian godly brother, sister, or brother in Christ. Ask them to confirm that. And if you have concerns about any of those questions, don't listen. If you have concerns, don't listen. if something is questionable or something is false, actually call them out. Do not receive that word over your life. Rebuke it. I've rebuked words that people have given me from God because they weren't from God, and I had no problem saying, I actually don't receive that word. I rebuke it in Jesus' name because it's actually not from God. You have the power and authority to do just that. So, if you have these prophecies, you got these words of knowledge, what should I do? How should I act? If someone starts testing you, be thankful that they test you. If someone wants to start asking you questions when you have a word for them, a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and they start asking a lot of questions, don't be upset. Be very happy. Be happy that they take this so seriously that they actually want to confirm God's word over their life. Because God cares about decency and order and authority, and he cares about shepherds that he's put in charge of flocks to protect the sheep from wolves. And so test everything. Hold on to what's good. If you read through 1 Corinthians 14, there's actually like this list of rules in the New Testament. It says when people gather, it's good to prophesy, but don't let more than three people prophesy over others because it's going to get confusing. And if there is prophecy taking place amongst groups of Christians, make sure that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. That means you actually weigh and judge what the other person says to confirm it to be true or not. You see, the kingdom of God works beautifully when the gifts of the spirit work as a body, and prophets can hold other prophets accountable, and likewise, and we actually take turns to listen to what God has to say. And powerful things can happen. This doesn't mean that more than three people can't be prophesied over in some sort of a prayer gathering or church service or gathering of Christians. It just means that we need to be aware that the things are being said are in order, are leading people to Christ, are building up the church, and are done in respect to those around us, and especially those who don't know Christ, as 1 Corinthians tells us. So you say, well, Pastor, I've never experienced prophecy before in church, in this church, in any church. And I just say, you probably have. Prophecy is something that is going on all the time. And we want to be a church of freedom where we allow that to take place. But we also want to be a church where we are protecting people so that the words that are being spoken are true. You say, well, why does that matter to you, Pastor? Because oftentimes people will leave churches and say, well, Fellowship Church, someone from Fellowship Church told me this or told me that, and people are going out outside of authority and have no idea what's being spoken. And so we just ask you, if you've got a word of wisdom or knowledge or prophecy for someone, tell one of our staff or elders as a church that God has given you a word for someone so that we can just celebrate that together, so we can encourage each other, and so that we can hold each other accountable to false words or true words that actually come from God, because we actually care about you a lot. So earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. I'm going to go ahead and lead us into a time of response and prayer. And again, if I could have you limit distraction, we're going to be done in a second. We're going to close with a song and with a time of prayer. But I don't want you to miss the setup we were just given. I know I just gave you a lot of information, and I did a lot of teaching from the Bible because I think the Bible is important to teach. But I hope that what was taught out of God's word will unlock the potential for prophecy to take place within your life and your family and your church and your small group. How is God speaking to you? How is God prompting you? What's God sharing with you about others, or with you even about yourself? And as I think of that, I think back of so many times in my life where God did use someone to give a word, to give a prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. About 2 years ago, I was struggling with something so much, really not knowing if something God was calling me to do was from God or not. And as I was driving to this church building with my wife in the car, I actually yelled. I didn't yell at my wife, but I was just yelling. And I said, am I crazy? How many of you have ever wondered if you're crazy before? Spoiler alert, you are. Am I crazy? And my wife began to pray over me this powerful prophetic prayer, showing that I was not crazy, that I was doing what God wanted me to do. And God used her to challenge me and to make me obedient. So we get to church. We go through a church service. And after the service, someone who doesn't know the situation, who doesn't know the conversation, comes up to pray over my wife and I. And the person says, I wanted you to know that God heard you ask if you were crazy on the way to church this morning, and he wants you to know you're not crazy. You see, did God have to use her to do that? No. But it did something a little bit deeper in my heart to confirm to me exactly what God wanted me to hear. About 6 months ago, a group of pastors from our city prayed over me. And they said, Anthony, God has given you a specific assignment in the city of Salem to see accomplished for his kingdom, but the enemy has assigned forces to you to try and stop that. God wants you to know that assignment has been canceled. I was like, yeah, that's good. I received that. That's a good word. Amen. And so, but I've sat on that. I've sat on that for 6 months. And then last weekend, a woman that I barely know, who does not know anything I've been through, who doesn't know about that prayer time, came up to me, laid her hands on me, and prayed for me and said the exact same words. Anthony, God has an assignment for you in the city of Salem. And the enemy has assigned forces to try and stop God's assignment. And God wants you to know it's canceled. Why would that happen? Because God wanted to confirm his word. A year ago, my friend Adam, who's here today, filming some stuff for the Fellowship Network. We were at a Fellowship Network conference in the Northwest, and a great man of God and prophet was there and just doing ministry of prophecy in the congregation. And again, calls me out and discloses the secrets of my heart of things that have been transpiring for years that without God, he would have no way of knowing. And what I say was that spooky? Was that weird? No, it was very comforting. It was very upbuilding. Because what it was God saying, hey, I notice you. I care about you. I love you. And I'll tell you what you need to hear to build you up. I could tell story after story. God wants to speak to you like that. A year ago, my son, I'll embarrass him for a second. He was in a room full of thousands and thousands of teenagers. And a prophetic minister in front of thousands of teenagers called my son out of the crowd and just speaks very specific things over his life that go back generations in our family to confirm a call on his life that this person, again, would have no way of knowing. Why did that happen? See, some of you witnessed that. Why did that happen? It's because God cares about you, church. He cares about you. He knows your name. He'll call out your name. He wants to speak to you. So here's what I'd like you to do. If you bow your heads. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, everything I just said really means nothing unless you know Christ. What I said, it's interesting stuff, but it means nothing compared to a relationship with Jesus. If you're here today and you'd like to start a relationship with Christ, I want you to know God loves you despite what you think about yourself. God created you. He's got plans for you. He didn't make a mistake with you. God knew you would sin against him. But he loved you so much, he sent his son to live for you the life you couldn't live. Jesus, God's son, God in the flesh, took on the punishment and wrath of God for your sins upon himself. He said, I'll take it. He laid down his life, death on a cross. He had the authority to lay his own life down. He allowed himself to have his life taken so that he could give to us life. And because Jesus had authority to lay down his life, he also had the authority to pick it back up again, where he was raised from the dead, resurrection power, to show that he defeated the devil's work in your life, that he defeated your sin, he defeated death, and he defeated hell. And through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and Jesus alone, your sins can be forgiven. You can have a relationship with God restored. And you say, well, I'm not good enough to have a relationship with God. I would say, you're right, but Jesus is, and he got it for you. You've got a relationship with God through Jesus. He gives to you his Spirit to empower you and equip you and give you gifts. And as a bonus, he gives everlasting life. Jesus said, God so loved the world, he gave his Son, that whosoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son to the world not to condemn the world, Jesus says, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Salvation is a gift that God gives freely, a gift of grace that is received strictly by faith, not through works or obedience or following the law or a religion or joining a church. Salvation comes as a gift from God, a gift of grace, undeserved, unmerited, unearned, but God gives freely through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son that you receive in faith. And if you'd say, Pastor, today I don't know Jesus, but he's all I've got. He's the only solution, and I just need him. I want to start relationship with Jesus. I want to be saved from myself, saved for a relationship with him. And today I don't have the answers to all my questions, but I am putting my trust in him. Would you raise your hand all across this room, put it right back down if you say, that's me today, Pastor. I need Jesus. I'm putting my trust in him. I'm putting my faith in this gift he gives me. Anybody else, you don't have to pretend to stretch. If you say, that's me, I need Jesus, just with all boldness, raise your hand as high as you can. Put it right back down. Say, today, Jesus, I need you. Save me. Restore me. Enter into relationship with me. I want you. Anybody else? Say, that's me today. I want Jesus. I saw two of you say, yes, I want Christ. God's here today. Today's the day of salvation. Follow Jesus and walk according to the ways God has given you. Maybe God's given you a word over your life and you're not seeing it. You're not seeing it. God wants you to know he hasn't forgotten. The word he spoke over your life was true. It hasn't changed. It's true. And you're in a season of discovering, what on earth does that look like? Here's where prophecy plays itself out and where this is done with love and order and respect. Chad and Regina Goins, you guys are here today? Yeah, God didn't forget. He knows the call in your life. He knows where he's sending you. Trust him. He's got great things in store for you. I saw you walk in. I'm like, that's why I'm speaking on prophecy today for one. God wants you to know, don't forget. His words are true. Don't let go. Anybody else, just know, like, man, God's given me a word. God's given me a word. He's given me a plan, a vision. Don't let go of it. Don't let go. How many of you have wanted to run away before? Sometimes God's word is the only thing that's holding you where you're at, and that's okay. Let him be the anchor until he starts blowing in your sail again. And I think some of you, God's saying, hey, raise the sails. I'm going to start blowing my Spirit on you again. Raise the sails, prepare, get ready, be ready for my work, because I'm going to start blowing the power of my Spirit on your life. And you may be anchored right now, and the only thing holding you on to what I told you to do was my word, and that's okay. Stay anchored for a while. That's all right. But raise the sails and be ready to go the moment God tells you to go, because he's going to tell you soon. Be ready. Be ready to go when he says go. Last thing is this. If you'd say, Pastor, I came here to church today desperate for a word from God. Desperate for a word from God. Kim's going to lead us in a song, and as she does, if you're here and you're desperate for a word from God, would you just come fill our altar? We'd love to pray for you. I'm not saying at all that God's going to use any of our leaders or staff to speak to you. Maybe he won't, maybe he will. But I do have great faith that if you needed, you're desperate to hear from God today, I would like you in faith, as we begin to sing, to start to make your way up to the front. I'd love to lay hands on you, pray for you in faith that God will speak to you this week. Maybe it will be today. Maybe it will be next week. God's God. He'll do what he wants. And I believe that God has a word for someone now, today, because you're desperate. And you need a word from God. And that's exactly why you're here. You came here today not knowing what you needed, not knowing what God wanted you to do. And I think that some of you, you're going to get the answer today. So would you join me in prayer? If you could stand to your feet. Again, the second that Kim begins to sing this, if you know, if God's speaking to you, I need a word from God today. Start making your way up to the front. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the teachings on prophecy that you give us. I thank you for your teachings on wisdom that you give us. I thank you for your teachings on knowledge that you give us. Lord God, if there's anybody here who you've spoken to, may they never forget the word you gave. Lord Jesus, if there is anybody here today desperate for a word, a call, a clarity, a direction, they're desperate to hear from you, I ask in the name of the power of Jesus and your Spirit that you would give them exactly what they need today, something only you can give. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you have a plan for us. You care for us. You love us. You desire what's good. Lord, if there's people desperate to hear, speak, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's begin to sing, pray. If you'd like ministry, come up to the front. Trina will come up to this song and dismiss you. We'll be here to pray for you all day if you need it. I think God wants to speak to some.